Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We're grateful for the beauty of the creation around us here, Lord. Thankful for the snow on the mountains. And Lord, we're just thankful for life. But we also know that there are many of us here today that are facing troubles. Maybe there's illness, sickness. Lord, we just want to lift up all of those who are suffering with different problems. We ask for your help in those. We pray for the wars and the confusion and the problems that are all around the world. We ask that you would intervene. And we pray for your help to understand everything, Lord, for we know our ways are not your ways, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, it's good to see you all here today. We're going to continue the Fully Human series. And it's been a fun one already, the first couple with Darren. I particularly enjoyed last week's where he was talking about how we're created in the image of God. And I know he's got a couple more great ones coming down the line, especially doing with artificial intelligence and stuff. But today you're stuck with me. But we're going to continue this idea on the image of God, and we're going to work on the idea of work, jobs, what we have to do. And I would really encourage you that if you did not happen to pick up a sermon note today, that you might want to get one. You could actually just walk out for a little bit. I'd give you permission. Or if you got a neighbor that's sleeping already, just take theirs. But it is going to be a little more interactive that way today. So maybe look at that. But first, we need to kind of go back into what Darren talked about last week. So I've got a couple slides here. If you missed last week, or if you're like me and you may have forgotten a few things, this will help refresh your memory here. So you remember, we were created in God's image. We're a reflection of God's character. But I really want to focus on these second two here today. Darren kind of touched on them last week, but these second two are what really tie in for today. Because we are representatives of God's rule, and we're also here to harness creation's potential and make order out of things. That's a job. God created that. And you know, last week Darren mentioned that, well, God gave us a choice. We could trust God, or we could seize autonomy and define good and evil for ourselves. And unfortunately, that's what happened. We decided to do that. And because of that, even though we're created in God's image, things happened. That sin distorted. I don't know if you remember this from last week. The sin distorted our ability to reflect the image of God. And so we reflect it. It's supposed to be like this, but in reality, it's distorted. And that happened in our work and job lives as well. Sin has distorted everything. You know, God placed this idea of work in all of us, and it's something that we think about, even as young children. I'm sure you can all remember here how when you were really little, you were being asked, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And we always have these really great ideas when we're really little. And so today, I've got a TikTok video that was made from kindergarten graduation. You know, sixth graders, they always have, or six-year-olds have the best ideas, maybe, five- and six-year-olds, about what they want to be when they grow up. So let's watch this here real quick.
Edith wants to be a gas station worker.
CJ wants to be a Waffle House worker.
I want to be pregnant.
What do you expect to be when you grow up?
When Isaac grows up, he wants to work at McDonald's.
I want to be a hustler.
He just wants to do what my mom says.
I grow up, I want to be a wicked witch.
Aiden would like to be a grown-up because he wants a girlfriend.
You know what you want to be when you grow up?
A landscaper.
Hey,
Jason wants to work at Walmart when he grows up.
Spotter would like to be a skeleton.
When I grow up, I want to be a professional turkey hunter.
I'm going to be the boss of the ice cream shop.
Oh. I want to be a T-Rex.
Now, those are pretty cute, right? I don't know about the Wicked Witch thing, but I don't know. They're pretty cute. But you know, we get a little bit older, and that cuteness begins to disappear. This sin distorting our lives becomes a little more real. And this brings to mind a story from my own life when I was little. I was, you know, not quite a kindergartner, but a little bit older, so maybe 10, 12, I don't remember, but my brother Kurt and I, we had these little fields because we thought we were going to be farmers someday. So I don't know where we got these little fields, how they came about, but they weren't much bigger, maybe the size of this communion table or twice as big. I mean, we're talking little, but you know, we're only 10 or 12. And we would go out there to these little fields and we had hoes and we would make little land. We would plant little wheat seeds and barley seeds and they would grow up and we would harvest them and kind of play with it. And that was all fun. That was nice. We had our little fields. We would tell our mom, yeah, we're going to go out to the fields, you know, like Dad. Dad's always going out to the fields. Well, one year, I decided Kurt's field looked really, really nice. He had this beautiful green wheat crop. And I thought his field looked a lot better than my field. And that was a problem. And so I'm not sure how I accomplished this, but somehow I went and found some Roundup. And I mixed it up in a sprayer to the appropriate ratios, I'm sure. I read the label and everything. And I went down to my brother's wheat field and I sprayed it out. And the plan was working marvelously. And about a week later, Kurt's wheat field looked like this. At which point, I guess I had it in my mind that I could convince my brother of anything. And I remember telling Kurt, it was like some kind of disease, or maybe it droughted out. And Kurt was like, well, there's nothing wrong with your field. And this is where the plan completely went off the hinges, because he went and got my dad. And my dad, being the wise old farmer, I'm sure he was busy doing something else, but he came down and looked at this dead crop. And pretty soon he was able to decide and could get me to confess to what I had done. I don't remember getting in a lot of trouble for that. I think I had to give Kurt my field for the rest of the year. I guess that's why Kurt and I are business partners now, because Kurt knows he better keep me really close, because it might not be good otherwise. Yeah, Kurt took over the spraying, that's right. I write the work orders, Kurt does the spraying. That's how we fixed it. But you know what happened there? This sin was getting into my life. A bunch of my identity, my value in life was being better than Kurt. Any of you ever had this sibling problem? You know what? I'm sure all of you never had that trouble. I needed to succeed literally at any cost, right? You know, these childhood insecurities follow us into our jobs and life choices. You know, when God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to manage and take care of the garden, he was intending for work to be good. And it was. But just like we've already talked about, sin entered. And there was consequences. The consequences to sin entering the world is God told Adam that now the work would be cursed. It would involve pain and sweat. And you know, that's where we are nowadays. It's to the point where even in our jobs, there are problems. Some caused by us, some caused by others, and maybe even when somebody sprays your field out, it's not your fault. So, today we're going to be looking in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because Solomon, the wisest man in the world, had something to say about this. And you know, Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book. He spends the first couple of chapters talking about everything is meaningless. Has anybody here ever heard that? Meaningless, meaningless. Well, we get to chapter 3 and he switches gears just a tiny bit. And so we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to start with, if you're there, where Solomon says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And I'm not going to read the next couple of verses, several verses here, but this is where it's a famous section of Scripture. Well, you'll hear there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to weep and a time to laugh. There are all these things that are connected together. One of my personal favorites as a farmer is there's a time to gather stones and a time to throw them. I do a lot of gathering of rocks, so I think about that a lot more. But there's a rhythm. There's something about this. There's a rhythm to life that we start to see here. But at the end of this section, Solomon starts to think about work. So in verses 9 and 10, let's see what Solomon says. He says, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. This word, burden. There is a burden that has been laid on us. This idea of the curse is coming out, that work is going to involve sweat. Okay? And so today in your sermon notes here, you're going to see we have a bunch of things listed that we are, like students, 9 to 5, all right? Remember, we've already talked about this idea of rhythms, and so every one of us in life goes through these times. And so the first one, almost everybody in this room is or has been a student. Now, I don't know, have most of you been as happy as these students? I mean, we love canned photos, right? I mean, this is just wonderful. I mean, these guys, I mean, even their hair is perfect. I mean, everything about these people is perfect, right? Does it look like being a student is a burden? No? But it can be, right? Can you get bullied by other kids? Can you maybe like not understand sometimes your work? Maybe you just are bad at math. I don't know what the problem is. So a lot of us end up like this guy, right? We're just like checked out. We're not there anymore, okay? So, you know, if you got a spot there, maybe you're a student right now or you can remember being a student. Maybe you just write down, you know, I was, you know, Kevin Melville was this guy a lot of the time. I sort of went through school. I didn't do a lot of homework. My wife always asked me, didn't you do homework every night? No, I didn't ever really do homework. I got some D's, you know, D's get degrees. Those are good things. So, all right. Being a student can be a burden. It's tough at times, right? Well, what about you get past being a student? How many of you here ever had a nice 9-to-5 job, right? Look at all these happen. Another nice canned photo here. I mean, everybody is just perfect. Does work ever become a burden? Maybe you take that job and think every day is going to be like this, and then pretty soon you realize you don't like anybody you're working with. Or maybe none of them like you. I don't know. It's hard to get up and go to work. You get tired of it. I decided to put up a photo of my grandson here. How many of you have, I'm going to say Dominic here, my grandson Dominic's holding the chick. How many of you have a boss that likes to treat you like this? Right? Look at how happy the boss is up there. Look at that. Look at how happy the boss is. And look at how the employee looks. Have any of you been there? Right? Can work be a burden? So you know what? You say, you know what? That's it. I am sick of 9-to-5. I'm tired of the boss squeezing everything out of me. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to be like this happy couple, right? Everything's better when you own your own business. You don't got the boss squeezing you. You don't got those co-workers that you just hate being around, right? You can tell the workers what to do, right? Well, pretty soon life gets tough there too. Maybe the business isn't going quite as well as you thought. Maybe you named your used car business Almost Honest Bills. And you wonder why nobody comes. Maybe your workers don't show up. Okay, pretty soon you start looking like this poor guy. This is what I look like after the Oregon State Legislature has been in session and I find out what they just passed. And the governor is going to sign it. Right? I'm not happy. All right. Maybe you decide to be a stay-at-home mom or a dad. It is a truly great thing to do, but it is a tough, tough job. You can feel isolated, lonely. Your spouse never seems to help out the way he should, right? It can get to be too much when the kids are screaming and yelling all day long. All right? What if you're disabled or chronically ill? There's a job you want to be doing, but you can't because of that. People think you're of no value because you're in a wheelchair or something, right? And then we get to the last season of life. We get to the golden years, right? You're all seasoned citizens now. But life here, maybe you're not working anymore, but life can still be a burden. You just because of aches and pains, it's just a burden to just to do what you need to do every day. Or maybe, unfortunately, you didn't save up enough money, so you are having to go to work just to get by, and it's hard. Maybe the kids don't come to visit enough. I don't know. There are issues. And so we have this burden. And so, yeah, I think, you know, hopefully you can write some things down there. And, you know, good old Solomon, he continues here. He doesn't just drop us off. In verses 11 and 12, he says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." God has made everything beautiful in its time. Getting back to this season idea. "He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live. And so this everything is beautiful in its time brings me to another point here. What seasons are you in? And now you're telling me, Kevin, this is really bad English. This doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, we're going to get into this because, you know, being a student is a season in life. Maybe you're a 9-to-5 worker, that's a season in life. But life is a lot more complex than one season. We can be in multiple seasons at a time. We can be a child, a student, and a sibling all at the same time. Maybe you can have a 9-to-5 job and be a spouse and a parent at the same time. Maybe you can have that small business and be a grandparent at the same time. We can be in many different seasons at the same time. So what seasons are you in? It's very critical that you identify where you're at and where you're supposed to be. And I've got a verse here from Mark chapter 6, verse 3 that I'm going to show you. And this is in Jesus' life where he's just making a transition. He's going to be moving into a different season. He's starting his ministry. Mark writes, "Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. The son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Jesus, he's the Son of God here. But he also was starting to make a transition in life. He had been a carpenter. You know, we don't think about that a lot. Jesus as a carpenter. He followed in his dad's footsteps. You know, Joseph was a carpenter, but Jesus also did that. And here he is. He's like around 30 years of age. And Jesus knows this is the time. He needs to make this transition from being a carpenter to doing his ministry work. And the people are not accepting it. But you know, if we get to thinking about it, at this point in life, Jesus is more than just moving from being a carpenter to being a minister and a rabbi and a teacher. He's still the Son of God. He's Mary's son. He appears, since they don't mention Joseph here, that he's probably taking care of his mom, because Joseph's out of the picture. He's probably a brother, as we know. He might even be an uncle. Could you imagine? Do you ever think about that? Jesus as an uncle? I don't know. It's interesting. We don't know exactly what's going on here. But we do know that Jesus knew when to make this transition and move into a different season in life. And this is interesting. I had a spot where you could write down, you know, like three seasons that you might be in. But we've got to be careful about these and think about them, because that leads us to this next point. This is probably the most critical of them today, is we have got to find balance. Find balance. Jesus was finding balance. He knew how to do that. But you know, Solomon said there was nothing better than to be happy and do good. Those were balance things there. He was trying to have us find balance, because to be truly happy, we must do the right thing. And we are almost always in these different seasons in life. We got to find balance there. You know, we're not only, like we've mentioned, a small business owner, but maybe a father or mother. We're not only a retired mill worker, but maybe a grandparent. But you know, there's even a little bit more to it than that. You know, we were talking about there's a time to mourn and a time to be born and a time to do all these different things. There are certain things in life that need to be accomplished all the time, and sometimes we can kind of get stuck in those. And I want to think about, I don't know how many of you know the story of Martha and Mary. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I'm just going to paraphrase it today. And this is where Jesus has come down to see Mary and Martha. And he's visiting at their house. And Martha is busy getting the house ready, making sure everybody's fed and taken care of. And I mean, she's doing a great job. And her wonderful sister Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus. And pretty soon Martha gets a little bit upset about this. And she goes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to get off her derriere and get up here and help me?" And Martha was expecting Jesus to go, "Yep, I'll do that. She needs to get it with it." And instead, Jesus goes, "Martha, Martha, Martha. Today, Mary has chosen the better path. Today is a day to be listening to me." And you know, that's an interesting thing about balance, because the world was expecting Martha to do what Martha was doing. And it was confusing. But on this day, the best thing was to sit at Jesus' feet and listen and learn, because Jesus was only going to be with them for a little while. Martha's life was a little bit out of balance right there. There will be days when those things do need to be done. Jesus won't be there, and there will be houses that need to be cleaned and people need to be served. And we can all do that. We can get out of balance. We can get out of balance in our seasons. And we can get out of balance just in part of our life, because there is a time to mourn. And sometimes we can get stuck in mourning and we can't get out good. Maybe there's a time when we need to be just listening like Mary, instead of talking and talking and talking and talking like some of us like to do. And I've got a quote here for you today from Zig Ziglar. You know, it's just great to say a name like Zig Ziglar. So then it's just fun to have a quote from him, right? Good old Zig says, "I believe that being successful means having a balance of success stories across the many areas of your life." You know, Zig's saying that we got to be good in every area. Whatever season we're in, we got to be good at being a 9-to-5 person. We got to be good at being a parent. We got to be known for being good at mourning, or we got to be known for being good at celebrating. Whatever that season, that cycle of in life we are in, we got to be good at that. And we have a tendency to mess up seasons. And you know, Satan, he's going to attack us from every conceivable angle to keep us out of balance and from figuring out what seasons or activities we're supposed to be in. God created us as human beings in his image. Perfect. But it's distorted now. God created us to work. And you know, God has perfect balance in his work life. And we must learn this also. Jesus was able to determine what season of life he was in and what he should be doing at that time. He was in perfect balance. You know, this is an incredible, important task. So we're at this critical point in the sermon, this so what time, you're telling me, right? You're telling, Kevin, you're saying work is a burden. Everything's beautiful in its time. We just need to figure out what seasons of life we are in and how to find balance, right? Maybe you're looking at your notes here and it's just cluttered with all the messes in life that you have, right? And you're saying, Kevin, what are we going to do about this? Well, you know, Solomon's got an answer here in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes, okay? He says that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of their toil. This is a gift of God. So here it is, folks. It's super simple. Find satisfaction, right? That's all you got to do. According to Solomon, find satisfaction. Adrian's giving me two thumbs up. He's got it. He's nailed it. He's probably leaving the room right now. Is it really that simple? Yeah? You know what? I've got another verse. I think it's going to add a little bit more. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's written by the Apostle Paul. He writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now let's look at this a little bit. God's handiwork. We've been talking about this today. We are created in God's image. And this word handiwork is so critical because this isn't a mass production of Model Ts out here. We are not, every one of us, absolutely identical, right? Every single one of us was uniquely crafted. God made us with his handiwork. We are unique, every one of us. Isn't that wonderful? We were created with unique, special talents and abilities, every one of us. And then we go to this. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, Christ Jesus is so critical here because through Christ is where we can get rid of this sin and we can truly become who we were created to be. So if we align ourselves with Jesus Christ, we will be able to do the good works. I mean, Solomon said, yeah, we can do good, but can we truly do good without being aligned with our Creator, with what Christ did for us and shedding away of that sinful nature? We can only do that through him. We can use these talents to do good works, but we aren't saved by these good works. This is critical, folks. Those good works don't save us, but they are an outgrowth of our aligning our lives with Jesus. And lastly, we're going to look at prepared in advance. You know, God has a unique plan for each one of us to serve him. He had that plan from the beginning. Prepared in advance. It was there before we were even born. So that brings us to our bottom line for the day. We're going to wrap it all up with this sentence. Our talents come from God, and we can only use them correctly if we find our identity in Christ. That's our finding satisfaction right there. My question to you today, are you using your abilities correctly? Were you a born leader, but you like just being lazy and putting in the time wherever you're at? Are you great at teaching little kids, but you just think you're not capable? Or maybe you're retired and you're just tired of them little crumb crunchers throwing up on you. Maybe you're a born encourager, but you think because of your disability, you're unable to do that. Or maybe other people have put you in a box, just like they did Jesus in Mark chapter 6. They say, you know, you're just a nobody, or you're just a carpenter. You can't go do that. You can't be an astronaut. I don't know. God created you for something great. And maybe like Jesus' season in life was changing, maybe yours needs to be changing as well. In order to find true satisfaction, we must get aligned with what God has created us to do. I'm going to call up the praise team here. We're going to do a prayer here in a minute, but I'm going to ask you if you've got some things you're thinking about today. Maybe you feel you're really out of balance and there's something you'd like to pray about or just talk about. Maybe you need to get Jesus into your life so that you can find that balance or get your life going the right direction. I invite you to come up. I'll be up front here today. If those cranky farmers that you saw on the screen scare you, Darren's over here. He's holding Judah. That's always a good time to visit with the pastor. I invite you to come up. There's always things that we can talk about and pray about. You can never pray not enough. You can just pray and pray. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of work. We know it is something that you created, and you created it perfect. And we understand that sin has distorted it and messed it up, and that Satan is out there trying to get us out of balance and out of the right seasons in life where we should be so that we can be properly aligned and in balance. Lord, we just ask that you can help us to see what seasons we are supposed to be in properly, or what we should be doing, or who we should be helping, and what good works that you created us to accomplish, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.